First, I want to thank my chaverim in the OU. I'm so completely overwhelmed. By the reality of a program like this. This is the second year in a row that I've had to overcome the difficulty of coming into a place where the Mets play baseball. And as I mentioned last year, that I was a Yankee fan beginning in 1960. And it's been traumatic for me, just all the paraphernalia and the but it's a COVID, a tremendous COVID. I want to begin just with a feeling that I have walking in. There's a niggun the Jews sing this time of the year, preparing for Rabbi Shimon, and then on Lag BaOmer, Omer Rabbi Akiva Ashrechem Yisrael, Lifnei Mi'at Metarim Mitayir Eschem. Ashrechem Yisrael, how fortunate we are. Lifnei me, before whom do we purify ourselves? Who purifies us? Lifnei me. Me is Memyud, is 50 Yeshuas. To work on ourselves, to grow. I'm sure many of you heard of a tzaddik. He was known as the Heilige Rishna, the Holy Rebbe from Rishon. And the Heilige Rishna was once dancing with the Chassidim, and he was doing something very interesting in the dance. He was doing like some sort of a dip. He went down and he came up. He went down and he came up among the Chassidim. And he was in a very exalted state. And afterwards, the Chassidim asked Rabbi, what was that new move by the dance? That funny little dip that you were doing. And the Holy Rishna said, it says in the Pasuk, Mikvi Yisrael. The Jewish people are a mikveh, and I was dipping in the Jewish people. I felt surrounded by such love and warmth that I was in the mikveh of Am Yisrael. So I'm not going to do any funny dipping right now. And I'm no Rishner, and you're no Chassidim. But mikveh Yisrael, Hashem. Hashem has a beautiful mikveh, it's called the Jewish people. Ashreinu, Ashreinu. Ashreichem, lifnei mi'at imetar mi'metar eschem. So I want to talk to you about the most wondrous, wondrous pasuk in all of Tanakh. It's not on the page in front of you, it's in your hearts, it's in your minds, and we just learned it yesterday. So even if the memory is not at its best, all of you know. Dabar al kol adas b'nei Yisrael, it's not on the page in front of you. Speak to the entire Jewish people and tell them to be holy. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell us what that means. What does it mean to be holy? It's the most wondrous pasuk in all of Tanakh. Because Kedusha is a wonder. And Chazal say that Parashah Zu Nemar Bahakel. Unlike other parashas here, the Torah is very, very demanding that every Jew shows up. Everybody has to come to this unveiling of Kedoshim Tiyu. Because each and every one of us has to know that Kedusha is meant for each one of us. Now we heard of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and the Alshech HaKadosh, and the Rechaim HaKadosh, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the Yid HaKadosh. They were holy Jews. But the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu is Bahakel. Every Jew had to show up and hear those words, Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy. And you can do it. But how can we do it? That very same tzaddik that I mentioned a second ago, the Rechaim HaKadosh, writes in Achrei Mois, a question that I think that our generation perhaps is more troubled by this question than any generation of the past. The Chacham HaKadosh asks, regarding the parashiyos of relationships in Achrei Mos that we read yesterday, men and women, and so on. So he asks, how could it be? Shehem dover shenafsha shel adam chaymed. The natural need of a human being is to have this type of physical involvement with the other. And kefi hateva, in man's nature, according to the human nature, one cannot hold himself back. The Chacham HaKadosh writes, one can't hold himself back. And the Torah has a whole list of things saying, no, 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 or wait, 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 not now, not now. So the Chacham HaKadosh himself asks, how is this possible? There's a whole Torah there. And at the end, he says a remarkable thing, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. At the end, he says, Kishayaskim Ish Yisrael Hezdabik Bashem Alekov. It is possible. It's possible to rise above the coarseness and the ugliness, the profanity that's drawing us away from Kedusha. But the condition the Rechaim says is Kishayaskim Ish Yisrael, when a Jew makes up his mind, Kishayaskim Ish Yisrael, when a Jew is determined, Lizdabek Bashem Elokov, to attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Yishloit B'tivo, he can rule over his Teva. He's able to rule over his nature, that nature that is ingrained in the human being, that need. Even a Jew is able to rise above that. The question is how? What do we do? This is the struggle of our generation. There are many, many other things that we're contending with. But Kedusha, holiness. How many Chassanim and Kalas come under the chuppah already feeling broken, because they were not able to arrive at that point in their lives in a way that they had dreamt of going, in a way of being pure and holy. How many bachurim in the yeshivas are so depressed and broken? And bechlal, what's going on? There isn't a day that goes by, I'm not exaggerating, where I don't have a call from some destroyed wife who found something on her husband's phone. Kedusha. She was longing for Kedusha. She got married to a person she believed was an Ish Kaddish, and she wanted a marriage, a life of Kedusha in a home that was Kaddish. So let's look at the familiar story you have on the page in front of you. I'm sorry if there aren't enough copies. Look inside with the other. We'll do it very quickly because I think you all know the Gemara. The Gemara, of course, is in Shabbos Lamed Gimel, Lag. The Gemara that tells the story of Rabbi Shimon, you all know what happened with Rabbi Shimon and his son, and how they had to run away from the Roman authorities and hide. They were in the cave for all those years. And during those years, the Zohar Kodesh was developing in their minds and their hearts. We're beginning when they left the cave. So the Gemara says, Nafku, number one, Nafku, Chazu Inchi de Kakabi Vizari. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar left the cave and they saw people working in the fields, that they were plowing, planting. Omer, and they said, Menichin Chai Oilam Vaiskim Chai Shah. They're abandoning eternal life and the Oiskim Chai Shah, and they're busy with this world. Wherever they turn their eyes, they set the world on fire. Every place they looked at immediately caught on fire. Yotza bas kolv amr lehem, a voice came down from Shemaim, from heaven, and said, Lahachvi ve'lami yitzasa, you left the cave to destroy my world. Chizru l'maras, return to the cave. Nhadr also, they went back. Yisiva trei se'ach yishos, they went for another 12 months back into the cave. And they said, Mishpat amri mishpat rishoyim begehenim, that the mishpat of even rishoyim begehenim is only 12 months, is 12 months, so maybe we'll be able to be freed from this cave that we're in. And sure enough, Yotza Baskol V'Omra Tz'umi Merazch. The voice came down from heaven saying, leave the cave. Nafku. You can imagine when the people saw Rabbi Shimon Blaz, they started like to run. Rabbi Shimon Blaz, oh no, it's the second coming of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Blaz. But the Gemara says, Nafku, Kol Heichet Ha'Havimachi Rabbi Blaz, Ha'Vimasi Rabbi Shimon. And sure enough, Rabbi Elazar, wherever he looked, he began once again to set on fire with his eyes. But his father, Havimasi Rabbi Shimon, wherever Rabbi Elazar was looking with eyes that destroyed, Rabbi Shimon would look with the eyes that would heal. And he was healing and curing. Amlo Bani, he said, my son, take it easy. Daila Oilam Anivaata, it's enough that you and I know the absolute truth. And then the mysterious ending of a strange story. The Bahadapadla, the Nepanya, the Malishabsa. It was Friday night, just I thought it was going to be candle lighting, the sun was setting. Chaza Ahusaba, the Habanaki Tre Medaniasa, and they saw an old man, Ahusaba. Ahusaba, the old man. Taisus is Elyonovi. They saw the old man that having Naki Trey Medanias, he is carrying two bunches of Hadassim. Virai ben Ashmosh is, and he's running at that time of twilight. And Omulai Hani Lamalach, what do you have these Hadassim for? Omulul Chvait Shabbos, for the honor of Shabbos. But Tiskalach Bechad, isn't it enough to have one? So the old man said, Chad Keneged Zoch, one is for the Pasuk that says to remember Shabbos. Chad Keneged Shom, the other is to guard Shabbos. So Omulai Libre. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai turned to his son and said, Chazi kam chaviv in mitzvah sayisra. Look and see how precious mitzvahs are to the Jewish people. And finally, Yosef da'atayu. They were appeased. They were appeased and they went on to change the world. And to heal and to cure the world. So we need to understand on our level, what is it that they saw the first time that it was unbearable for them and they began to burn to destroy the world? What happened in between? What changed during those months in the cave? Did they in fact change their minds? Did they regret what happened the first time? Rabbi Elazar, it seems, didn't. But clearly Rabbi Shimon, something changed. What changed? Now, historically, I was thinking of another tzaddik who brings us to a similar adventure. Everybody here, I'm sure, has learned Mesil Sesharim. And the Ramchal in Mesil Sesharim, beginning with the first parak, pretty much until Perek Yutes, until the 19th chapter, the Ramchal speaks of this world as a miserable, broken place. Mamash Gehenim, a world that's filled with milchamas, with wars. Every moment of life, nisyonos, tests, yisurim, suffering, and tzaros. It's a world of havel havolam. And at the very beginning, the Ramchal says that the tachlis of life is not this miserable world. The tachlis of life is the world beyond this world, is Olam Haba. And the world that we live in and the life that we're living here in this world is is a world of ephes, of tohu. And to the degree that we understand its emptiness, we can build a place for ourselves in the next world which is real. The neshama in the guf, the soul, is imprisoned in the body. The soul is Chazal, the Ramchal brings from Chazal. The soul is a bas melech, is a beautiful, delicate, refined princess. And she's married to the guf, to the body, to this world, to the guf. The guf is compared to an Irani, which means a coarse villager, a peasant. She can't bear her life with the peasant. The princess and the peasant is not a good shidduch. The neshama in the guf, the Ramchal says, is broken and disgusted with that cave. And the pasuk the Chazal bring in Koheles v'hanefesh lo temerleh, no matter what the body brings the soul, no matter how many new types of sushi you've tried or vacations you've taken, the princess remains disgusted with the villager, with the peasant that she's stuck with. V'hanefesh lo temaleh. And the soul is not full. That's why you're here today. V'hanefesh lo temaleh. The soul remains unfulfilled. Now that's the tone until Perek Yutes. It's pretty depressing. Suddenly in Yutes, something changes. So for the first 18 chapters, the Ramchal looks at the world and he sets the world on fire like Rabbi Shimon of Elazar when they first came out. And then in Perek Yutes, something changes. All of a sudden, Olam Hazeh, this world is a wonderful place to be. It's a world that has a capital city, not just for the Jewish people, but for all of creation, and it's called Yerushalayim. And there's going to be a redemption that's going to bring us to Yerushalayim. This is an ideal world, a place where the Jewish people are going to teach the entire world that there's a God, and that the Shekhinah dwells in this world. And there's going to be, once again, a Beis HaMikdash. And every moment of life, we have the opportunity to be Megal L'Kvod Shamayim, to reveal God's glory in our lives in this place. So the Ramchal, the first 18 chapters, is like when Rabbi Shimon came out the first time. The world is terrible, and he destroys the world. But then suddenly, the next chapter, the Ramchal comes out the second time from the cave. And like Rabbi Shimon, he begins to heal the world. So listen, Chevra, I need around 3 hours for this. And I know there's like a big project and I don't want to mess up the schedule. So I'm going to try to do this as quickly as possible. In the beginning, I'm going to be burning the world a little bit and it's going to hurt. So stick around to the end. It'll be okay in the end. Dovra Melech, look at the page. Dovra Melech says in Tilim Kuf Membeis. Bis'atef alai ruchi, when my spirit collapses, when I'm broken. Bis'atef alai ruchi, va'ata yadati nisivasi. Hashem, only you know my path in life. Hashem, only you know my path on this road that I have taken, the road that I walk upon in my life. Tonnu fachli, there is a trap, a snare that has been laid for me. What David HaMelech is saying is that there's a person whose entire mitzvah, whose entire reality is a reality of Kabrivazaru, which means of plowing and planting. That was a more pastoral life back then by Rabbi Shimon, so now it would be, I don't know, hedge funds or stock market or whatever it is that we do. But in that metzias that a person lives, he becomes shakua, immersed in this world. Ad kedei kach, to the point that he lives on a path. That's what David HaMelech is saying. Ba'oirach zu ahalech. It's a path that hardly allows him during the week, and now some people, even on Shabbos, Hashem Yerachem, to let go of the instrument that they're holding, to let go of this world. And therefore, regardless of how many times the person sincerely tries to get out of the pach, out of the trap, and to get out of the ashpa, to climb out of the cesspool of this world, but his whole metzias is this world. Oirach zu means he has an orach chayim. The way we have the first section of Shulchan Aruch is called orach chayim, means the path of life. David HaMelech is at a weak moment collapses and says to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, I feel that it's not that I've made some poor choices, but my entire path is a minefield and filled with pachim, traps. And that's become my entire metzias. In other words, I have to look honestly myself and say, in the words of the Medrash that I just mentioned, that ani ironi, I am a villager, I'm a peasant. I am a peasant, that's my life. I'm a more sophisticated peasant. I dress nicely and I have a nice car and well-groomed children in Mitzvah Shem. But sof kol sof, I'm an ironi. I'm very, very far from the Beis HaMelech. I'm very far from the Bas HaMelech, from the palace and from the princess, from royal life. I, like other Jews, when it comes to certain times like Yom Kippur, I feel the filth of this world. I look at the garbage that I've picked up, being ensnared in those traps of this world, in the entrapments of the life that I've chosen to live. And I'm sick, and I confess to you that I want to be better, and I ask you to help me. But sof kol sof, you and I go through many, many Yom Kippurs. And some people make great dramatic changes in life. Mostly our present-day Balei Tshuva are the ones who do that, who transform themselves. But as far as our chevra of so-called, I hate these terms, FFB, from birth, very minor adjustments, maybe for like a week or two, sometimes a little bit longer, sometimes it gets worse. So what's the Eitzah? What's the Eitzah for the Ironi? In Iro means the villager, the Ben HaKfar, the peasant. What's the Eitzah? So David HaMelech had a great son. Look at number three, Mishlei. He speaks about a different path. Ora chaim lemalu lemaski lemansur mishol mata. A path of life waits above. Erechaim lamala. There's a higher way of life. Erechaim lamala lamaskil, for the intelligent one, for the one who thinks. Doesn't mean you have to be a genius. For the one who's thinking, when you look at the Erechaim, the Erechzu, the one that you've chosen, the life of the Ironi, and how despite your longing for the Bas Melech, you just never seem to get there, there's an alternative lifestyle. And Shlomo Melech says the alternative lifestyle is Erechaim, which is called Lamala. A path of life waits above. It's waiting there, but it's above. Lamaskil for the one who's thinking. Lamansur mishol mata, so that a person can turn away from the grave below. In Yiddish, we would say a hecher avelt. There are still some Yiddish speakers here. Baruch Hashem. A hecher avelt is a higher world. See, kol zman, as long as the Jew sees himself as an Irani, as a peasant, as long as he sees himself through the eyes of the guf, of the body, Kedusha is a concept. I hate that word, concept. I grew up listening to millions of speeches where they spoke about the concept of being a Jew, or the concept of being holy, or the concept of being a better husband, or the concept of being a better wife. Kedusha is a nice concept. You've probably heard thousands of drushes yourselves, maybe even yesterday. The concept of Kedusha. As long as you are a Ironi, a peasant, a villager, and you live in that metzias that David HaMelech describes of Oirach Zu, Ahalach, this path, it's not just that I've made some mistakes, but I'm living in this path. And this path of life is one that is strewn with ugliness, with all kinds of temptations. And in that world that I live in, I have moments where I can see the truth and I want to overcome those taivas. I often mention yeshiva. I have now, Baruch Hashem, it's Baruch Hashem and it's sad, but on my phone I have now, as of this morning, there was no person that joined this morning, I have every single day 43 young men, single and married, who have chosen to report to me about where they're holding in their struggle against impurity, against looking at things they shouldn't look at and doing things that they shouldn't do. And they just will write a number. 23 means I'm clean for 23 days. Clean. And I send back like a sign of a, all right, Gibor, Chazak ve'amatz, Hashem's Baruch loves you, to give chizik. Then sometimes I see a terrible thing. He'll just say, Rabbi, five lines, Rabbi, spread out, R-E-B-B, Rabbi. And I know what that means. So you could have moments of being strong. And you could be better that day, worse that day. I'm not just talking about that extreme type of impurity. But as long as you are an Ironi, as long as that's your identity, as long as you have chosen that path of life, it's really impossible to be Mizgarba, to be strong in such a way. That's what the Rechaim HaKadosh is saying. So we weren't created like that. In other words, if you look at stuff, and if you live in that mitzvah, in that world, and you enjoy and flirt with that world, that means it's your oirach. I know I told you it's going to be difficult to hear this, but that's a path of life. And stop fooling yourself by saying, no, it's just an occasional slip-up. It's not a slip-up. When I was in the yeshiva, there was a bacha that the second the Rebbe would begin to say the shir, he would fall asleep. It was unbelievable. The second the Rebbe would open his mouth, I got shluffin. Shluffin. And he could do that like through the whole shir, and then when it was over, he was fine. And his name was Dov. The Rebbe was a Litvak and called him Dave. And the Bach used to always say, my name is Dov. And the Rebbe would say, Dave. And the Rebbe said, get up, wake up. And then his brother sat next to me. And his brother gave him a, and he says, oh, yeah, and he started to read, oh, I'm Rabbi. You know, he started to look in the Gemara. And the Rebbe said, what are you sleeping? So Dov said, Rebbe, I'm sorry, I fell asleep. And the Rebbe said, Dave, you don't fall asleep. You go to sleep. Because you come here to rest. Falling asleep, like, you know, that happens, like ba'inus, something like that happened to you in life. No, you're going to sleep. So we have to be honest with ourselves about that oirach. Because on that path of life, David Mel says, you don't find kedusha. Look at number four. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Chumash. There was a song, a poem after our confrontation, Sichon, Cheshbon, the Maisa that happened. And the Gemara in Bava Basra brings the pasuk, Amr Reb Shmuel ben Nachman, Amr Reb Yochanan, Ma'edich Siv. Al-Kain, it's a printing style, Al-Kain, Yoimru HaMoishlim, Bo Cheshbon. It says that the poets would say, come to the place of Cheshbon, Bo Cheshbon. But Cheshbon is an interesting word. Cheshbon. It means the name of a place. But the Gemara learns that HaMoishlim is not just poets or songwriters or people who make parables. But HaMoishlim means Elo HaMoishlim BeYitzron. There are Jews who rule over their Yetzer. There are Jews who are in control of that darkest side of themselves. Elo HaMoishlim BeYitzron. And the question is, like the Archaim asked at the beginning, how is it possible to be in control of oneself? Of what you eat, of how you conduct yourself in marriage, outside of marriage, how is it possible to taste kedusha? So the Gemara explains, "Bo cheshbon bov unechashiv cheshbonos shel olam." Let us together think of the cheshbonos shel olam. Let us make a cheshbon of the world. And the Slonim Sfarim, it says the following. Cheshbon Shalom means make a cheshbon of what world you live in. Make a cheshbon of the world that you're in. Not a regular cheshbon of nefesh. The question is, Be'eza olam ata chai? What world do you live in? It's not where you go to work. We'll get to that at the end. It's not what you do for a living. What world have you chosen to live in? What is it that your mind is occupied with? What is it that excites you and attracts you? What is it that brings you simcha in life? What is it that brings you hislavas? A woman asked me last week, her husband is upset with her that she spends most of Shabbos on a couch reading racy novels. And she said she's careful that the children shouldn't see the cover. What world are you living in? Make a cheshbon of the world that you live in. And speaking to this person, well, I'm interested. I don't spend much time on the disgusting parts. I like the romance and so on. You're 42 years old. You have kids in the house. What world are you living in? Make a cheshbon of the world you're living in. Kedoshim to you? Yeah, go to the rabbis, talk about the concept of holiness. But as far as the Bas Melech, you've never met the princess. You have nothing to do with your neshama. I didn't tell her this. You have nothing to do with the Bas Melech. You're a coarse peasant. And yet you speak about the concept of holiness. And you're going to maybe go to a Yom Iyun, maybe to even be in a stadium like this, on the subject of God, getting close to God and being holy and so on. What's the world that you're living? What are your joys and disappointments? It's a big question. Do you live in a world of atzilus, of nobility? When you meet a person like that, that lives in a world of nobility. Do you live in a world of godless, of greatness, of bigness, or of katness? Turn the page over. Now, the first side was done by a chaver that knows how to use the computer. The second side, I personally took care of. This is from Rav Kook. We don't have time for these. I feel bad. I told you. And there's 1,000 other Maamar Karmas I wanted to do with you. But I davka not giving a lecture. I just really want to talk to you about this. But I understand that when you're talking about concepts, you have to always have Maamar Karmas. This is from the Eretz HaKodesh of Rav Kook in the first volume, page Shin Ches. Just a few words. You know, Rav Kook is Mamish poetry. It's hard to understand. You know what Rav Kook hated more than anything? Katnus Hadas, a small-minded person, a small way of thinking. Katnus Hadas. And Rav Kook writes that, Bekatnus Hadas Munach Eres Pnimi. There's a deep poison that comes with living a small-minded life. She did me al yodo she kol han tokem en hachol el ha-kodesh, he d'chiyah me yeshus el ha-afsius. That sentence is enough. Let me translate that into, I could translate it into Hebrew and then into English. I guess I'll just go straight to the English. Kol han taka. No, what does it mean, lina take? What does it mean, han taka? Any disconnection, min hachol, from plain, profane, physical, mundane, kol han tokem en hachol el ha-kodesh, and any thought of disengaging from the physical and entering into Kodesh, into the holy, he dchia, this small-minded person feels that it's a dchia me yeshus el afsius, that I am turning away from yeshus, from something real, the meal that I'm having, the show that I'm watching, the money that I'm making, to a kapitel tehillim, Ela afsius, there's something which is, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's real. I've often mentioned in public the turning point of my life. This is a long time ago, this is around 44 years ago, something like that. And there was a Labor Day singles weekend in the Pine View Hotel. Gedenkst? Those of you who speak Yiddish, remember the Pine View. And I was working as a waiter with a friend of mine in the Pine View Hotel. And it was a mazel that it turned out that Masa Shabbos was the first night of Slichus. A mazel. It came out very early that year. Remember a few years ago also came out like that. So it came out, Slichus was the night. So they had, the Masa Shabbos, the program was, there was first a musical program, then there was Slichus, and then after that there was a comedian. So my friend and I were finished with the work in the kitchen after Shabbos, and we went for the show. And the music was horrible, as were the accommodations. And then they put together some mechitza, they threw up some things. And they started yelling at everybody, to guys here and girls there. And it was time for Slichus. And a guy came around with a little bichelach, the little booklets. You remember the little booklets for Slichus? That's before they had fancy translations. It was these little booklets. And the guy came around handing out booklets to everybody. But there was such a tumult, there was such a commotion. That, you know, guys and girls, a lot of energy. There were hundreds of chevra. It's a singles weekend. You know, it's a lot of energy. And it was taking a long time. And the fellow that was running the weekend was very frustrated. He was going, shh, shh, shh. And the Baltvila is standing up there, the guy for Slichus. And it's too much talking and noise. And finally, the guy that's running the program yelled into the microphone, and he said, Chevra, if you be quiet, we could finish this and get back to the show. That changed my life. I walked out and I spent some time making a kafis around the place in the dark and thinking about it, and I told my friend that night, I've decided I'm not going to have my Yiddishkeit between shows. Are you with me? Are you with me? And he was, and he still is. We're still friends, Baruch Hashem. Good friends. What Shlomo Melch is saying is that there's a cheshbon of the world that you make, and in that cheshbon there's an Orach Chaim, Lamal, Lamaskil, And that Or HaChaim means decide whether you want to live in a world where God is at the center of your world, period. Is the master of the world at the center of your universe? If he's on the periphery, then understand that you're going to have lots of Yom Kippurs and post-Yom Kippurs. You're going to have lots of ups and downs. Kedusha is going to be something that's going to be very elusive. You're not going to be able to hold on to the Bas Melech. You're certainly not going to be able to marry her. And that's what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh meant. Kishayaskim that we began with, you don't have it inside, but Kishayaskim, Ish Yisrael, he said, it's not possible. Human nature says that we're going to mess up in Achrei Mos with all those relationships. Or some of them we're going to mess up. But the Chaim says, wait, Kishayaskim Ish Yisrael is Dabik Bashem Elokov. If a Jew makes up his mind to place God at the center of his life, Yishloit B'tivo. He can rule over that teva, that nature. There's an amazing sentence from Rabbi Avram, the son of the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMaspik. And there he writes, Hayodeya Masas Nafsha, you don't have it on the page. A person who knows the longing of his soul. Yakel Olav Lazoiv Kol Hoyin Shabbalim, he can leave anything in the world if a person has the ideal of his life. We're not talking here about a New Year's resolution. We're not talking here about a little thought of tshuva by Hashem Elokim. You know, many people tell me all they want, my whole life, they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, they want to live in Eretz Yisrael. And there are many reasons why people can't, and I understand, and I myself am here. But I know one thing, that sometimes I meet a Jew who's an Eretz Yisrael dik in the Sham like Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Rabbi Yehuda Levi said, Eis achlim shiva shvusech ani kino l'shirach. Rabbi Yehuda Levi said, I can't live without Yerushalayim. Not that I'm making a 5-year plan. In the meantime, I'm going to dance at the parade or something. I can't live without Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda Levi didn't spend his life arguing every year whether to say Hallel or not to say Hallel. You understand? For him, Yerushalayim was a kino, was a harp of the song of his life. And when Yiddishkeit becomes the song of one's life, when the Baruch Shem is at the center of one's life, what Rabbi Avram calls the masas hanefesh, a concept cannot take control over your life. Your concept of Hashem, as intellectual and as brilliant as you might be, will not stop you from looking at your iPhone at 2 o'clock in the morning when no one is watching. A concept won't do it. But when something is the ideal of your life, if your kid is in trouble, nothing is important at that moment. Nothing is more important than my child. Because my child is the masas hanefesh. It's the purpose of my life. It's my ideal. It's why I'm here. Therefore, nothing gets in the way of my children. It's the masas hanefesh. Now let's end. I got the 10-minute notice like 10 minutes ago. So, I don't care. Just for a few minutes. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Ramchal, did they change their mind? Did Rabbi Shimon change his mind that after that extra year? The answer is, God forbid. Rabbi Shimon did not change his mind. Bar Yochai was an eish lahava, fire of truth. Did Ramchal change his mind by Perek 9? You tested, he said, looked back and he said, nah. I'm not happy with the first 18 chapters. Then he would have edited them. He didn't change his mind, and Rabbi Shimon didn't change his mind. So what happened? Rabbi Shimon came out the first time, like Ramchal, and he looked at a world where people are living in an Or HaChaim of planting and plowing. You understand? That your whole life is the stupid thing. Your whole life is that world of Lamata that David HaMelech was speaking about. A Metzias that's filled with Pachim, with traps and ashpays and garbage. And when Rabbi Shimon looked at that world in Or HaChaim Lamata, he said, that world of the Ironi, that world of a peasant, can't be. A world of katnas, a world that Rav Kook was talking about, that for a person to think that I'm going to be leaving, I have to leave the show and the hors d'oeuvres to go slichis, to say slichis, where people can't daven for more than a half hour. They come to shul late. They leave shul early. Do the women know what goes on Shabbos morning in shuls? The shuls are half empty, two-thirds empty, because their poor husbands can't get up at 8:30 or quarter to 9. And what about during the week? If Bechlal, someone goes, and if he goes, comes in just late a little bit and leaves just early a little bit because the 20 minutes of disengaging from the world is overwhelming. That's what Rabbi Shimon was looking at. You understand? And he set that on fire. That's what Ramchal was saying, was the Havel HaVolim of this world. This world is Havel HaVolim if it's at the center of your world. But then Hashem said to Rabbi Shimon, did you think I want you to destroy the world I created, a beautiful world? Go back into the cave. Because the first time all Rabbi Shimon heard was the crying of the Bas Melech, the crying of the soul. All Rabbi Shimon felt was his Bas Melech, his neshama crying out, I can't bear to be in such a world where this is what life is. This is the Aruch Hayim. But that wasn't the end of the journey. He went back to the cave. And Hashem sent them back to discover that there's something deeper than what you look at, what you see on the outside. And Rabbi Shimon, during those 12 months, came to the highest place. That after seeing it in an honest way, like you and I have to do, the emptiness of a world without God, Rabbi Shimon then took a second look. And with the second look, he said to his son, I could lift up, you and I together. Let's lift up the Ironi. Let's bring the peasant out. Let's find the Bas Melech in these Jews. This beautiful Jew that's running with the Hadassim and Ben Hashmoshes, Kamen Chaviva Mitzvah Sayyisrael. Look how Jews love Shabbos. Look how Jews will do anything to do a mitzvah. During the week, he looks like he doesn't care. He's plowing and he's planting. And it seems ke'ilu, this world is all that he has. But if we dig deep in ourselves, if we dig deep within our children, if we get to the essence of who we are, then we'll realize that we have the ability to recalibrate, to change that perspective. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is brought into the center of our lives, so then the Jew who's at work and who's doing a good job, because Hashem wanted us to work in this world, and Hashem wanted us to go through those tests that the Ramchal speaks about at the beginning, and to fight those battles. And he wants us to find our way to the Bas Melech, to the princess inside of ourselves, so that of course we go to work. But work doesn't take over our lives. And we remember what's the masas and nefesh, what's my life, what's my ideal. Why do I live here? Why am I in this world? When I was growing up, my father was in business. He had a business in the city. And whenever I would call him, any time during the day, when something was bothering my father, would go into the back and leave the customers, and that was it. And he would spend it, and I never felt I was rushed. And afterwards, my mother was annoyed with me. She was there with him. And my father said, what are you talking about? Why do I work? I work only for you and your sister. So you should be able to be in yeshiva and you should be good Jews. Period. That's why mommy and I came out from Auschwitz and Mauthausen. What do you think we came with? I should stand in a dry cleaning store working on some guy's stains the rest of my life? It's only for you. And if you need me, I'm here for you. It's a different way of life. It's an Arachaim Lamala Lamaskil. And that's why the reassurance was Shabbos. Shabbos. Why Shabbos? They see the old man reading Shabbos with the Hadassim. There's no time to talk about each of these things. If you have a couple of free days, look in the Ein Ayah from Rav Kook's parish on this Gemara. In the Ein Ayah, in his parish on the Agadat and Shabbos of Lama Gimel. You see, no matter how much you and I are peasants during the week, and that's, you have a piece of it, by the way, on the page on the bottom. We don't have time. But how much you and I are peasants during the week, the Baruch Shalom gave us Shabbos. And Shabbos, L'chad Doid L'gras Kala, Pnei Shabbos, Nekabla, Shabbos, you come off the train, it's a clap, it's a hack after a whole week in that place, and you come off the train, and Shabbos, you can go meet the Bas Melech, the Kala. Shabbos, a Jew is able to remember, what's the ideal, what's the tachlis of my life, what's the masas and nefesh, why did God put me into this world? Now I'm ending this, 2 minutes. I spoke on Shabbat yesterday. I spoke, and at the end, I told this story. Listen carefully. It's chaval. There's so much that needs to be spoken about. The Rebbe Maharash, Rebbe Shmuel from Lubavitch, Chus Yolainu, was once sitting and learning in the yard, and his two sons, the future Rebbe, Rebbe Shalom Dovber, the Rebbe Ashab, and Rebbe Zalman Aaron, the other son, they were talking. They were little boys, they were talking. And they were discussing what's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. It's a touchy question. What's the difference between a Yehudi and an Eino Yehudi? I'm going to call that from now on. Okay? Yehudi and Eino Yehudi. What's the difference? So the boys were talking. The Rebbe, Rebbe Shmuel, is listening to this conversation the kids are having. It's always the most wondrous thing to listen to children who are talking without thinking that adults are listening, right? It's the last time in life we hear the truth. So these children, the boys are talking, future big tzaddik, they're talking, and they came to the conclusion that the difference between a Yehudi and an Eini Yehudi is that a Yehudi learns and davens. And the Eini Yehudi doesn't learn and daven. That's the maskana. The Rebbe afterwards, the Rebbe Maharash, the father, called him over and asked him what they came to, what the maskana, what the conclusion they told him. And then the Rebbe asked him a very big question. So then what's the difference between a Yehudi and an Eini Yehudi when the Yehudi is not learning and davening? Huh? When the Jew is not learning and davening, then what's the chilek? So they didn't know, the boys. It's a good kasha. So the Rebbe said, go to the stable and bring Ivan. It was an Eini Yehudi that worked over there in the stable. For many years, he was like part of the chevra there. And Ivan came, Rebbe, can I do something for you? And the Rebbe said, no, Ivan, I just want to ask you something. How are you? Thank God, I'm fine, Rebbe. Did you eat this morning? Ivan says, yeah. Was it good? The Rebbe asked him. He said, yeah, I had a very good breakfast. Thank you. And tell me something, Ivan. Why is it that you eat? He says, Rebbe, I eat so that I could live. And Ivan, why do you want to live? So Ivan said, so I live so that I could be able to take some of the money that I've saved and, you know, to go maybe to the bar with the friends or to go with family to have some outing or vacation. So the Rebbe said, good. Thank you, Ivan, thank you. And he went. And then he told the boys, go bring Pinchas, who was a Jewish worker for the family. Simple. Couldn't read a Pasuk Chumash Rashi, you understand? Simple. Pinchas comes, and the Rebbe asks him, Pinchas, how are you today? Rebbe, fine. Pinchas, did you have breakfast? Baruch Hashem. And how was it? It was good. He says, tell me something, Pinchas. Why do you eat? He says, Rebbe, I eat. I eat so that I should be able to live. And then Rebbe asked him, Rebbe Maharash asked him, said, Pinchas, tell me, why do you live? So he said, I live, Rebbe, and he gave now a krechs, and the tear fell from his eye. And he said, Rebbe, I'm trying. I live to be an Eved Hashem. I hope I'm trying to be a servant of God. That's why I live. And he said, good, Pinchas. And he sent him away. And then the Rebbe said to his boys, Kindlech, you see this? It looks like it's the same. Till you get to the last question. That's the question. Chevra, that's the question I want to leave you with and myself. That was what Rebbe Shimon answered the second time. And he spent the rest of his life working on healing and fixing. If you stop somewhere along the line and you don't get to the last question and you don't ask yourself that every day a few times, so why do I live? I work, I do this, I do that. Everything is great. But why am I alive? And if the answer is not to be an Eved Hashem, it means that your world is on fire. Hashem Yisbach should help us that we should be able to see the world through Rabbi Shimon's eyes. That we should be Jews that are healed ourselves and are able to heal others. That we should be zeichet to be in the presence of Rabbi Shimon and all the tzaddikim on that day when all the Am Yisrael will be cured of this, of the emptiness of this world and come back with Mashiach, with David Malka, Mashiach, with the Glashav Amitis, Mehavi Amen, Amen, Amen.